Sota, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Base 1-2, and the Mishnah continues its discussion of the preliminary technicalities that lead up to the giving of to the Sota, the suspected Sota, the Maim Marim, these bitter waters. So here we're going to talk about the technical requirement for Kinoi, for putting her on notice by warning her in front of two witnesses. Now, the Mishnah, as it reads in front of us, isn't exactly explicit explaining what it essentially is coming to explain. So let me say it outside first, so that at least it's clear, and then we'll see the words inside and make sense of them. The basic point is that the kinui, the warning which is done in front of two witnesses, must explicitly be that the husband says to his wife, Al tistri im ishploni, you may not be secluded with John. If it is, if she, for example, is told, you may not talk to John, that doesn't count as a kinui, even if he does it formally with two witnesses and so on. Okay? Meaning, if he simply would say to her in front of two witnesses, you may not ever talk with John again, and then she goes and talks with John, or even if she is secluded with John afterwards, so she still isn't forbidden to him because we haven't ticked both boxes of the formal kinui with two witnesses and the formal stira with two witnesses, because kinui requires the prohibition of seclusion. He has to warn her against seclusion, not just talking. Okay? So that's the basic crux of the first part of our Mishnah here. If he did give her a formal warning with kinui, do not seclude yourself with John, and then there's stira, there's two witnesses who attest that she did seclude herself with John, so then she becomes forbidden to him until they clarify the matter with the magic of the waters. And in addition, the Mishnah will say that she also can't eat truma. Let me explain this for a second, first outside first. Kohanim can eat truma, and the members of their households can eat truma as well. Once a woman, even if she wasn't born to a father who was a Kohen, but if she's married to a Kohen, so she's part of his household, then she can now eat truma. The Gemara learns out from the fact that the word for tuma, defilement, appears three times in the Parsha regarding the Sota, that there are three ways in which she's, so to speak, tamea, defiled, restricted. One of them is she's forbidden, defiled, restricted to her husband until they clarify the matter. The second is she's actually prohibited from marrying the John, the guy against whom she was warned to be with, until they clarify the matter. So, for example, if she is told by her husband, do not seclude yourself with John, and then the husband dies before they can clarify the matter, she can never marry John. Okay? And the third thing is that she's forbidden from eating truma. So this is not about that it's like a suffix if she's married to him anymore or not. Nothing like that. There's a separate rule all to itself that a woman may not eat truma once she's already a suspected sota till she clarifies the matter. Period. Regardless of who her husband or father is in terms of their Kohen status. Okay? But the basic case would be that she's married to a Kohen. Still, she cannot eat. She cannot eat truma until the matter is resolved. So now, that's the gist of our Mishnah here, almost all of it. The Mishnah inside starts out by saying, Ketzad mekane la. How does he formally warn her? And unfortunately, the explicit answer to the question, which is, he says to her in front of two witnesses, Al tistri im ishploni, do not exclude yourself with that man, does not appear in our Mishnah. Instead, our Mishnah says what doesn't work. It says, Amar la b'fnei shnayim, if he, the husband, says to her in front of two witnesses, Al tidabri im ish ploni, he says to her, you may not speak ever again with John, v'dibra imo, even if she subsequently speaks with John and there are two witnesses that effect, even if it looks very shady, but it doesn't matter. And even if, although the Mishnah doesn't say this, even if she subsequently secludes herself with John, she has steer with two witnesses, still, Adain hi muteres lebesa, she remains permitted to her husband. Interestingly here that besa means her house, literally. It's referring to the husband. Typically, bias refers to the wife, but here it means her husband. Umuteres lechol betruma, and she continues to eat truma. Meaning, even though she had two witnesses that she was, even if she had two witnesses that she either spoke to John or even was secluded with John after being warned not to speak with him, it doesn't matter, since that doesn't constitute the legal stira. The legal kinui. The legal kinui, the formal requirement for warning, is do not seclude yourself, altistri, and not do not speak, period. So now, what we might have liked the Mishnah now to say is, on the other hand, if he says formally, Al tistri imish ploni, do not be secluded with that man. So then, now she's restricted from being with her husband and eating truma until the matter is resolved, if they have witnesses regarding that they were ultimately secluded together. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. Those words are sort of to be understood implicitly. So if, so now I'm sort of inserting words here, if he told her, Al tistri imish ploni, do not exclude yourself with John, and then Nichnasa imo levesa seser, then she goes into a private place with John. Private here means that no one is there but those two, not one other person. So it's like seclusion by themselves, yichud. And then v'shahase imo kadei tuma, they're together in that secluded situation long enough for them to have been together, literally enough time for her to become tamea, defiled, which, as the Gemara says, Bartanura says, the Rambam says, is the amount of time it takes to like roast an egg so it's sort of soft boiled and you can swallow it. How long that is, I don't know exactly. 5 minutes. So then asur levesa v'asur leechal b'truma. Then she becomes forbidden to her husband and forbidden to eat truma until the matter is clarified by means of the bitter waters. Okay, so that's how the Mishnah is to understood, and that's what it says here. There's one more sentence to go, I know. I just want to speak out again. If you read the Mishnah like in one fell swoop, you're going to misunderstand it, okay? Because it sounds as if the warning is just about the speaking. The Mishnah reads as if he told her, don't speak to John, and then they seclude together, she is restricted. But that's not what the Mishnah means. That's clear from the Gemara, Bartanura, etc. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah also says, Ve'im meis. If the husband dies prior to them clarifying the matter, so their marriage is kind of on hold because she's forbidden to him until they clarify the matter, then the din is choletes velo misyabemes. She does chalitza but not yibum. What's this talking about? If a man dies and he has no children, no living descendants at the time of his death, so then his wife has a mitzvah to marry his brother, if there's one, or that's called yibum, and if they're not going to do yibum, like he does, say the brother doesn't marry her. Let's say, for example, he could, instead of doing yibum, he could do chalitza, this process that goes with taking off the shoe and so on. Plan B. Okay? Now, what we're saying here is, if the man who warned his wife, and then the wife secluded herself, if the man then dies prior to them resolving the matter, so then, since they were still married, there's a zika, there's an attachment that persists between her, the widow, and her brother-in-law, which restricts her from marrying anybody else till they resolve that zika, that attachment. However, while it's usually a possibility of doing yibum in the marriage that ended that way, it's not a possibility over here. The reason for that is based on a pasuk, actually. It's a drasha, because the pasuk, a pasuk talking about divorce that says ki matza ba'ervas davar, if he finds in his wife some unseemly matter, and then the yatza mebeis of halacha v'haisel ish acher, and after she's divorced, she goes from his house and she goes to be with ish acher, another man. So the extra word there of ish acher, another man, the Gemara understands, makes a drasha, that we're talking about in a situation in which a woman has found some unseeming matter, ervas davar. She's suspected of being psota because of the kinu and stira. And then her husband dies. She cannot go to the yavam, but rather must be to an ish acher. Not to the ish acher is not to the usual first person, not to the yavam, the living, surviving brother. That being the case, so yibum's off the table, but since they were still married and the zika exists, she can't just marry anybody. She has to first do chalitza before she can marry somebody else. And that then is the meaning of the mission over here, which says choletes bene misyabemes. Before she can marry somebody else, she needs to do chalitza. Right. Now, let me just speak out here. If there were witnesses that a woman actually was mizana, was actually adulterous, so then that marriage is now to be dissolved, no matter what, and she's patur from yibum. She's no mission of yibum or of chalitza, even if the husband dies before he can actually divorce her. Okay? But here in our case, that's not what's happening, and therefore, we're saying just as he would have had to divorce her with a get prior to going to marry somebody else if he was alive. So now that he's dead, the brother needs to do a chalitza with her before she can marry somebody else.